Okay, this is the English program. You can contact us, as always, on the Twitter, twitter.com/English Radio. Go to our blog for all the links to all our podcasts, video, audio, live broadcasts, arrange a plethora of social network things. It's englishradio.blogspot.com. There's a link there to our Facebook page as well, if you want to sort of converse with other fans of the English program. It's your choice. Don't have to. If you want to, you can, though. Right. Psychology in the 21st century. We are looking on the English program. This series is back now. It's been away over the summer. We're back into our... We've had a bit of our jollies over the summer, a bit of a, you know, summer fun, but we're back into the sort of serious business of academic and scholarly... I can't say that word. I do try. I should stick with academic. Scholarly pursuit. So, in this particular series looking at shoulder just cracked, it's not very good. Psychology in the 21st century. In this series, we shall by the end of it be able to describe, that's me and you, the diversity of psychology as a discipline. We should be able to list some of the ways psychologists focus on different aspects of human behavior, identify different methods the psychologists use in the business of exploring human behavior, and you'll be able to illustrate the importance of ethical consideration. That's what we're looking at the moment. In particular, the ethical principle of competence. Okay, so we're taking a look at that right now. Psychologists must recognize the limits of their knowledge, their skill, their training, their education, experience, and work, and what they have within them, basically. Now, in order to do this, they should develop and maintain a comprehensive awareness of professional ethics, including familiarity with the code of ethics. They should also be able to justify their actions on ethical grounds. What about responsibility? Psychologists should avoid harming research participants and should take care to ensure that they themselves come to no harm in conducting their research. I'm sort of going over this ground. I did this sort of when we did our last episode. I'm just sort of recapping, if you like. You should, if you're a psychologist, you should avoid personal and professional misconduct. I suppose that goes for most professions these days. That might bring the reputation of the profession or the university into disrepute. And psychologists take responsibility not only for their own actions, but also for the maintenance of ethical standards among colleagues, students, employees, etc. The issue of integrity. Psychologists should strive to be fair, accurate, and honest in the maintenance of the integrity of their job, of themselves, in all of their professional dealings. Psychologists should be honest and accurate in representing their professional affiliations and qualifications. This includes such matters as knowledge, skill, training, education, and experience. That's guideline 4.1. Paragraph 1, it's on page 20 of the code. It's all very important. Protecting research participants. Well, the principles listed, which I was about to sort of get on to when we last sort of did an episode. I'm doing this as a sort of recap, and then on tomorrow's program we shall start looking at the very specific list. Well, these principles have been selected from the BPS Code of Ethics and Conduct, written there or in slightly edited form, based on the ethical principles of respect and responsibility. We've organized them into four different sections, each of which relate to the protection of research participants. The very beginning of it states psychologists should. Now, this isn't relation to the recruitment of research participants, consider all research from the standpoint of research participants for the purpose of eliminating potential risks to psychological well-being, physical health, personal values, or dignity. We continue this series looking at psychology in the 21st century on tomorrow's English program and the Psychology Boo.